Okay, the first speaker this morning will be Alyssa McFarland, who will be speaking about the impacts of FGD gypsum application, nitrogen rates, and tillage on corn grain production.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. As our chairperson said, my name is Alyssa McFarland, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in soil science. My advisor is Francisco Arriaga, and my research looks at the impacts of FGD gypsum, tillage, and nitrogen on corn grain production. My outline for today's talk is fairly simple. I'm going to go over some background information, explain my experimental layout, go over some previous data from our first site from 2010 to 2012, and then go over the most recent 2013 season data for our three different expanded sites, and then a summary. So most of you probably already know what flue gas desulfurization gypsum is. However, if you don't, FGD gypsum is calcium sulfate dihydrate that is produced in power plants when the sulfur gases in the emission stream are scrubbed out. FGD gypsum is an important sulfur source because sulfur concentrations in soils have been decreasing. And there are two main reasons for this, one of which is that increased crop yields have led to increased crop removal and therefore increased nutrient removal. And there's also been a decrease in sulfur deposition. As you can see from this map, in 1985, the areas in orange had higher sulfur deposition, and in more recent years, there have been less sulfur deposition. And this is again due to the FGD gypsum production, where the coal-fired power plants are cleaning off the sulfur from their emissions, and therefore less is being injected into the atmosphere and then less deposited. It's also important to consider nitrogen management with sulfur because they're used together in plants to form proteins. Additionally, it is important to consider tillage practices with sulfur management because no-till systems can have sulfur stratification due to the lack of incorporation of residues. So these three main considerations have led to the treatments that were applied in this experimental design. So experimental design is a split-split plot design. The main block is a tillage block consisting of two treatments, a conventionally tilled and no-tillage treatment. Each of these main blocks were divided into subplots of two treatments, one no gypsum and one 2 tons per hectare gypsum. Each of these subplots was then divided into sub-subplots consisting of 6 different nitrogen rates. Each of these blocks was replicated 3 times. And this was first done in Arlington, Wisconsin on a Tippic RGU doll in 2010. This was done from 2010 through 2012. And as you'll see from later data, we decided that expanding the site to include 2 alpha sols at Lancaster and Marshfield would be good because the mollisol at Arlington was not as typical of more Wisconsin soils. The materials and methods relevant for this talk include that ear leaf samples were taken at silking and analyzed for nitrogen and sulfur content using ICP. Grain and biomass yields were measured by hand harvest by taking a hand harvest of the 2 middle rows of 5 feet of a 4-row plot, and harvest samples were analyzed for carbon and nitrogen using dry combustion. I also calculated a nitrogen use efficiency based on taking the grain yield of a treatment plot minus the grain yield of a 0 nitrogen plot, and then dividing by the nitrogen rate applied. All statistics were analyzed using a mixed model split-split plot design with an alpha of 0.1. So this first data I'm going to present is from those first 3 years at Arlington on that mollisol, more highly productive soil. And as you can see from this data, the gypsum application at Arlington in 2010, 11, and 12 did not have a significant impact on yield. I then looked at the interaction between gypsum and tillage for these first 3 years at Arlington, and the first 2 years did not have a significant interaction effect between tillage and gypsum. However, in 2012, the gypsum application resulted in an increased grain yield for the no-till plots. Then in 2010 through 12, I looked at the interaction between gypsum and nitrogen rate. And as you can see, that it was statistically significant in 2010. However, the trend was not a consistent trend and did not appear in either of the other 2 years. So as you can see from our first data, from 2010 through 2012 cropping season in Arlington, we did not observe a consistent, significant impact of gypsum. So this is why we decided in 2013 to expand the study to include those 2 other sites, as I mentioned earlier, Lancaster and Marshfield, the alpha sol sites. So this first data I'm going to present is the first data that we collected from 2013, and this is when we collected the earleaf samples. We analyzed them for sulfur concentration, and what we found was that at each of the three sites, the application of gypsum increased the sulfur concentration of the earleaf samples. I then compared this to the nitrogen concentration of these earleaf samples to get a nitrogen to sulfur ratio. This nitrogen to sulfur ratio is used as a mid-season nutrient status check. And what is typical is that if a nitrogen sulfur ratio is greater than 15 or 20, then the plants are likely going to be deficient in sulfur. And as you can see from this data, none of the sites had a sulfur deficiency. Also, the application of gypsum at each of these sites significantly improved by decreasing the nitrogen to sulfur ratio. This improved nitrogen to sulfur ratio did not result in an effect on yield, however. The application of gypsum did not significantly increase yield at either Lancaster or Marshfield, and it actually significantly decreased yield at Arlington. Again, I looked at the interaction between gypsum and nitrogen rate, and what I found was, again, a significant interaction effect at Arlington without a consistent trend. There was a weekly significant trend at Lancaster, this trend observed was that the application of gypsum increased the yield of the higher nitrogen rates, and Marshfield did not have a significant interaction effect observed. The biomass yield for 2013 followed that of the grain yield, that Lancaster and Marshfield did not observe a significant increase in biomass yield, and at Arlington it was significantly decreased. When analyzing the harvest samples from 2013, Marshfield and Arlington did not have a significant increase in grain nitrogen. However, at Lancaster, the application of gypsum resulted in a higher grain nitrogen concentration. So then I calculated a nitrogen use efficiency. However, the increase in grain nitrogen did not translate into an increased nitrogen use efficiency at Lancaster or at Arlington or Marshfield. The main tillage effects of this study were similar to other studies in the Midwest. Conventional tillage increased grain yield, grain nitrogen, silage nitrogen, and earleaf nitrogen. However, we did observe an interesting tillage-gypsum interaction effect at Lancaster. This interaction effect affected the earleaf sulfur concentration in that the application of gypsum resulted in a higher sulfur concentration in the earleaf of the no-tillage plots relative to the conventional tillage. The same trend was observed in the nitrogen concentration of the silage, and that no-till again increased relative to conventional tillage. So in summary, FGD gypsum improved the sulfur concentration of earleaf samples. However, this did not lead to an increase in yields. The grain nitrogen concentration increased with the application of gypsum at Lancaster. However, this did not lead to an increase in nitrogen use efficiency. There was an interaction between FGD gypsum and tillage on earleaf, sulfur, and silage nitrogen concentration at Lancaster. This will be particularly interesting to follow up with in the future because Lancaster is a highly erodible site where tillage is an important part of corn grain production practices. Take any questions you have.
Yeah. When you say conventional tillage, could you describe that?
Yes, so the question was, what is conventional tillage in this case? And we're doing a fall chisel plowing and then a spring soil finishing.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. In the back?
It seems that most universities in the Midwest recommend about 17 to 30 pounds of sulfur applied per acre. I'm just curious why you chose such a high rate on the gypsum application for sulfur.
The question was why we chose such a higher application rate of gypsum. This is what typically is recommended to producers in Wisconsin, so that's what we decided to go with.
What was the concentration of sulfur at the gypsum?
20% sulfur, roughly.
What was the question?
Oh, sorry. What was the concentration of the gypsum, the sulfur in the gypsum? So not more than 20, between 15 and 20. Any other questions? Yes, we looked at the sulfur. The question was, did we look at the sulfur concentration in the soils at all three locations? And we did, and none of them were deficient in sulfur.
What do you describe as deficient? That was my question, actually. Like, what is your sulfur recommendations? Like, how do you do your soil testing?
So the question was, how is sulfur testing done in Wisconsin for recommendations?
Right.
The soil testing lab in Wisconsin has a high, medium, and low range, and none of our soils were in the low or medium range. They were all in high range. So.
Just your routine soil tests?
Yeah. So the question was, why are we applying the gypsum if none of the soils were deficient? This research kind of came from the fact that a lot of people were asking questions about the application of gypsum. There's a lot of other reasons why people apply gypsum, and so it's not so much just as a sulfur source. There are other things that people are interested in with it, but that's the only thing that we observed that was significant. I'm guessing a lot of other people in this room have a lot better answers to that question. So what are the other benefits of gypsum? The only thing that we observed was the potential benefit of the sulfur. So.
Well, we haven't looked at one of the things we want to look at is the physical properties, but after 3 years of application, we haven't gotten to that stage yet.
Any other questions?
And as far as your benefits too, we're actually presenting, is it tomorrow, right? At 4 o'clock is our we're going to present new NRCS standards, and there we have a presentation of all the different benefits and different things as well. I think it's tomorrow.
I have two questions. Do you measure metal content of mercury, arsenic, selenium, and over the 3-year study, was there any variation in weather conditions for dry years or wet years for Wisconsin at that point?
So the first question was about measuring heavy metal concentrations, and are you meaning in the soil or the gypsum?
Gypsum.
We did some initial measurements of that, and they were not significant. There was not an alarmingly high level of it. And then also your second question was about the weather in the 3 years at Arlington. 2012 was a drought. But this was before I was working on the research project, so I haven't looked at all of that weather data specifically, but I know that there was some variations in the weather.
Did you observe any ponding during heavy rainfall or a difference in the ponding between the two gypsum treatments?
So the question was about ponding on the sites between the gypsum treatments, and we did not observe any of that. Lancaster is a fairly hilly site, so it wouldn't have been observed. Arlington is flat, but we didn't observe any differences. The plots are fairly small. They're only 35 feet by 10, and so I don't know if you would really have seen a difference in ponding, and especially for the short amount of time that we've had the sites in place.
And what was your soil series? Was it a sandy loam or
No, so Arlington was a Plano silt loam, and then the other two sites, I believe, are silt loam surfaces as well.
I think we have one more quick question if you have a question. Okay. All right, give her a hand.